Why is the marriage rate among blacks in America so low? The lowest rate of any racial group in the United States today, when not that long ago, in the 50s and 60s, it was the highest. We will discuss what happened and why and what can be done to address the issue this hour. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, March the 31st. Our guest writes a column for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and this week he wrote about Black Marriage Day, which was Sunday, a day that was created to address the black marriage crisis in America. On Sunday, more than 200 couples were expected to renew their wedding vows at Milwaukee churches and celebrate their marriages. Anybody listening take part in that event? We will talk about why there is a black marriage crisis in America, why it's a problem, and what would help this hour, and we invite your participation at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is James Causey, an editorial writer and columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His recent piece on black marriages is linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and to our program notes page at WPR.org. Good morning.
Good morning.
The last time we spoke, we talked about totally different topic. We talked about the disproportionate number of swimming tragedies in the black community. And we were talking with you because you had begun taking swimming lessons yourself. How's that going?
Well, I'm a pretty good swimmer now.
Oh, good. You're ready to jump in the pool this year?
Oh, yeah. I swim often, and, you know, I overcame my fear of deep water, and that was the main thing because I almost drowned when I was like 7 years old, but now I just feel so comfortable in the water. It's amazing.
Well, good. Congratulations on that. And congratulations to your parents. You wrote in this column that they are celebrating their 46th wedding anniversary this year.
That's correct. They've been together. Actually, they started dating in high school, and just like a lot of blacks, they made the great migration north for employment. My mother moved to Chicago, and my father, he went to the military after high school. After that, he moved to Milwaukee, and his first job was he lived with relatives to help take care of their kids. His first job was like a babysitter after he got out of the military, and as everybody else worked, and he tried to find employment. And he realized that, hey, Milwaukee and Chicago is not that far away. He got back in contact with my mom, and he would go see her every weekend. And she jokes and says that she turned my father down for marriage the first two times because he didn't have a place to stay.
Well,
so she played a little hard to get.
Lucky for you, they got together.
Yeah. So.
Well, and did they take part by any chance in the Black Marriage Day celebration where all these couples renewed their wedding vows?
They didn't take part in that. They went to their own church, but a lot of young couples. It was mostly geared towards young couples. The renewing of the vows were, you know, when couples get to that 5 to 7 year period where, you know, that's the critical area. So it was mostly geared for really young couples.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the need for Black Marriage Day. You wrote in the piece that this was created in 2003 to address the black marriage crisis. Why is it a crisis?
It's a crisis because, like you said earlier, in the 1950s and 60s, Blacks were one of the most married racial groups, and today they're not. You know, there's a problem when you have black women raising children, or anyone trying to raise children on their own. Bishop LaHarvey Buck said it best when he told me, in today's society, you will have a black woman who will have a child by a black man who she may know has some problems in his background, but she won't marry this guy, and he won't marry her. And the problem with this is because she doesn't want to essentially raise two babies, her unborn child, and this man who may not have a job, may have a jail record or what have you.
No, but she's okay with having a baby by the man, but doesn't want to be married to the man.
Yeah, and that says a lot when you think about how did we get to this point. You know, you hear a lot of the stories. We know a lot of the issues and problems. You know, Milwaukee has historically, and I'm keeping it really local, but Milwaukee has historically had one of the highest teen pregnancy rates in the country. And when a woman has a child so young, she's essentially a child having a child. And when you consider that, that really plays a part in will this woman find a mate in the future? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and this gets at another bigger crisis that I tried to explain in my column. And one thing I said in my column is that it's so much here that I can't explain everything in one column, but I'm going to keep coming back at this issue. And that is, you know, education. If education starts in a home, it was meant to start with two parents in the home, and they educate their child before the child gets to school. You know, you teach the child discipline, you teach the child, you know, simple things like ABCs, 1, 2, 3s, and all these other things. But the father being in the household also teaches the child, if it's a boy, how to be a man, and if it's a daughter, what to expect and what how a man should treat a woman. And all those things are essential. And when the father is taken out of that equation, it becomes that much more difficult. That's why you have women, young women today, who don't know how to accept love. They think maybe a guy talking to them any kind of way is love, because they didn't grow up seeing how their father was supposed to love their mother.
Mm-hmm. It's to the point where you say that this is arguably the number one problem facing the Black community?
Yeah, you know, a lot of people talk about racism. They talk about, you know, the lack of education. And they talk about the Black male incarceration rate and things like that. And I said, well, you know, I think arguably the largest issue affecting the Black community is the lack of Black marriages, because Black, you know, marriages build communities. I mean, you can't, you know, when you have a strong family unit, that's essentially the start of a strong neighborhood, the start of a strong community. It's the start of a lot of things that you need. It's the building block. It's the one of the most essential building blocks when you have children. And it's just been such a breakdown in that, you know, we can't even start to talk about all these other issues and all these other social problems until we get ourselves right.
We are talking with James Causey, an editorial writer and columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who wrote about Black Marriage Day in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this week, and talked about how this is the number one problem facing the Black community today. Too many single mothers raising children alone. And he says it's time to make this issue a top priority. We will talk about how to do that and some possible solutions. And we welcome your questions and views, too. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. It's going to be mostly sunny today, turning cloudy in the western half of the state with a chance of showers this afternoon. High temperatures today between 45 and 50 degrees. Tonight there is a chance of light rain and light snow with lows between 25 and 32. And tomorrow, unfortunately, a mix of light rain and snow in our forecast statewide with highs tomorrow upper 30s to upper 40s. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's now 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, March the 31st. Coming up after 7 o'clock, a Dane County judge has ordered that Governor Walker's collective bargaining law not be implemented. But the state is implementing it. We will talk with a guest who says Democrats and the courts have hijacked democracy. We'll find out more what he means coming up after 7 o'clock this morning. Then after 7:30, we will talk with the chancellor of the University of Wisconsin Colleges and the University of Wisconsin Extension, Ray Cross. We will talk with him about this new idea that would keep the UW system intact, including keeping UW-Madison in the fold, but give all campuses more autonomy. That's after 7:30 this morning. Right now, we are talking about why the marriage rate among African Americans is the lowest of any racial group in the United States and why that matters. And we welcome your questions or your views on this for our guest, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. James Causey, an editorial writer and columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, wrote about this issue recently, and we have linked his piece to our Facebook page and our program notes page on WPR.org. Before we go to the phones, James Causey, talk a little bit about why this is a problem, aside from the reason you just mentioned that some black women don't want to marry black men, thinking that they're not ready for marriage or whatever the case may be. But don't you also, you also wrote that you that there is a small pool of eligible black men to marry.
Well, yeah, it's one of those classic arguments that you hear, and I think it applies to, you know, not just black women, but I think a lot of women in general, because, but specifically to black women, they claim, or, you know, these are the numbers. They say that it's harder to find a suitable mate because when you consider that 1 in 9 black men between the ages of 20 and 34 are behind bars, and the number even goes down to 1 in 8 when you consider black men on paper, meaning that they're on probation or parole, that hurts. And then you, black women outnumber black men on college campuses 2 to 1. And then you look at these other cycles that black men lead in the negative statistics. You know, black men in Milwaukee are, you know, you look at the homicide rates, they're always number one for homicide victims. And they lead in a number of crime statistics when you look at drugs and issues like that. So that's one of the realities of the whole thing. And then, you know, a lot of black men have children out of wedlock, and that makes it kind of hard, too. But black, I'm hearing the same thing from black men about black women, too, you know, and I mentioned a high teen pregnancy rate. And that's one thing that I you know, that's the flip side. A lot of black men say, well, you know, it's a small pool of black women when you consider the number who have children, the number who have all these other statistics against them as well. So it goes both ways, and I think the number is smaller. But there's ways around it. There's a lot of good black men out here who are eligible mates, and I believe there's a lot of good black women out here who are eligible mates. How you connect them and get them together and get them married is a whole other issue.
Well, let's take some calls. We have C in Sauk County with us. First, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning. Go ahead.
I don't really have much question. I just have like more of a statement or a decree. I believe that I believe Wisconsin in a whole is on the verge of a complete shift in the fiber makeup of our faith, and I believe that as this, it's going to stem and it's going to start in Madison, and it's going to spread very quickly to Milwaukee. And I'm not talking about some church, some fake playing church thing. I'm talking about a people that are going to turn their face to God, and they're going to feel in their heart what they're supposed to do. And when that happens, it doesn't matter what happened yesterday, 5 years ago, or 10 years ago, what's going to end up happening is they're going to wake up that morning, they're going to realize what they need to do. And that marriage rate, and I'm not talking about just in the African-American community, I'm talking about in the Asian communities, the Mexican communities, the Puerto Rican communities, the Caucasian communities. This thing is going to explode, and Wisconsin in a whole is going to be radically, totally changed. And we are at the forefront of the entire world. They've been looking at us now for probably going on 2 months as to what's Wisconsin going to do? What's Wisconsin going to do? All of a sudden, people are going to start seeing. People are going to turn their face to God. Well, there's intercessors all over the country that are praying for Wisconsin, and the faithful are going to rise up, and you're going to see a mass amount of people all of a sudden turn to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is going to be the forefront of this entire issue. And well, you're going to see this whole thing change.
Yeah. So we'll see more African Americans getting married because more will turn their faith to Jesus Christ. I'm trying to understand how this links to the black marriage rate.
It has everything to do with crime. It has everything to do with marriage. It has everything to do with everything. Mm-hmm. It's the core value of reality. That when you accept him into your heart, your life is completely and totally changed. It doesn't matter if you killed three people in a drive-by in 2003 on this random morning in May of 2011. When you turn your face to God, you will totally be changed. And when you totally get changed, you're going to end up having this thing in your heart. And if there is someone that's in your life in regards to an intimate partner, God's going to put it on your heart to say, why don't you just go get married?
All right, see. Well, do you see it that way, James Causey? The black community will look more to spirituality or religion to fix the marriage problem?
Well, I think churches play a critical role in this whole situation, too. I mentioned something else in my column. You know, a lot of people wanted to know why did black people get so excited when President Barack Obama became president and he had his wife and his two children together, because that was like a shining moment. They were able to see a successful black family unit, and that's something that, you know, you really haven't seen on display in the media in quite some time. And it was... I didn't get a chance to go into this, but, you know, that's why the Cosby Show, I keep going back to this, mm-hmm. too, was so successful, because it was like one of the first times on network television that you got an opportunity to see two black professional people raise a family unit and have fun and love each other. And, you know, we were so used to seeing crime and how blacks were portrayed. And it's not just with television. It's with movies and the music and all this other stuff, too, that constantly pollutes the image of what a black family unit could look like. And there's many, many examples of successful black marriages in Milwaukee and throughout the country. It's just that a lot of in pockets of the community, they don't get to see this. They don't realize that this exists, and that's a problem. And people need to see it. The only way you could emulate it and copy it is to see it. And black churches play a critical role, because, you know, that should be a place where people could see it all the time.
Well, we did hear President Obama as well addressing this issue, at least to some extent. I recall him giving speeches where he was talking about responsibility and even, I think, telling some young black males to pull up their pants, didn't he?
Yeah, and it's funny because one of the young men, one of the fathers, to Albert Holmes, he's been married for 37 years, and he's raised his kids with his wife, and he says he's been with her throughout. And all his children are in college, graduated from college, and one is currently in college. And Mr. Holmes told me that you could tell. He goes to a lot of schools to speak and talk to young people. He's been a coach in schools or a track coach in schools for a number of years. He said you could tell the kids who have strong fathers in the home. He said, because you don't see them with the sagging pants. They don't come to school smelling like marijuana. They come to school prepared with their books and things like that. He said they have strong parents in the house and a strong family unit. The ones who come to schools with sagging pants and looking like they're not prepared, you know, the father is not there. You know, even last night, I went to this place called the Silver Spring Neighborhood Center, and I was talking to a group of young black males, because Juan Williams last week saying that he has a fear of young black males. He said when he sees them grouped up and they appear to look like thugs, he said he has a fear. Juan Williams is black. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to talk to black youth to see if that fear was real or imagined by some people. And they say, well, yeah, you know. And I talked to a group of roughly 10 or so black youth, and they, all of them, none of them father was in the home. And so what you have is these black boys essentially become the men of the house before they are actually men. You know, they're like 10, 11, and 12, and they're treated as men. They come in and out anytime they want, and they're doing adult things, but they still are immature on the inside. And when you have that combination, immature young person who really has very few rules, and they look like a kid, but they're doing adult things. That's a deadly combination, and that's why you need strong dads in the house. Now, don't get me wrong. I understand there's situations where a black man and a woman, they may have a child, and the father may not be in the home. You don't have to be in a home to help raise your kids, and that's another point. If it's a situation where you're not getting along with the mom, you could still co-parent. Co-parenting is still an important part that some people miss out on. And you could still be a strong co-parent and teach your son or daughter all the things that they need to know. It's a little bit harder, and it takes more collaboration on both parents' part. But if you do it correctly and do it right, you could still raise a wonderful child. And that's your responsibility as a parent.
We need to take a short pause to check news from NPR and from Wisconsin Public Radio. And then we'll continue our discussion on black marriages and why the marriage rate among African Americans is the lowest of any racial group in the U.S. and what can be done about it. We are talking with James Causey, who is a columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. This is the Ideas Network. Our guest this hour says the low marriage rate in the black community is a serious problem, and we're discussing why that is and what can be done about it. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 6:36 on this Thursday, March the 31st. James Causey, who is an editorial writer and columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, wrote a piece on black marriages in conjunction with Black Marriage Day, which was Sunday, in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and we are discussing that this hour. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. And we have other callers, so let me go right back to the phones. Bill in Milwaukee is with us next. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, Joy, and good morning to you, Mr. Causey. I found that when we want people to change, that instead of talking about the ghastly things that will happen if we don't, I think we should talk about the payoff. I grew up in the 50s and 60s, and my family was intact. My father was always there. My mother was always there. We lived in a community that was all African-American. In Gary, Indiana, we had our own churches, our own stores. We all went to school. There were over 700 kids in my graduating class. I know what a man is because of the constant presence of my father. And my mother motivated us out into the world. We had two meals a day together, breakfast and dinner, and you bloody well better be there. We would travel to Kansas to see my family. I was surrounded by family and by neighbors all the time that I was growing up, and it's part of the strength in my spine. As a teacher, I see the conspicuous absence of African-American men. But I think what black America needs to realize is that the black American family institution is the beating heart of our success. We went to college. We built our own homes. Everybody I knew had their own homes, our own families, our own neighborhoods. And I had a very solid upbringing that has been the mainstay of my life now that I'm alone as a man.
And James Causey, you agree?
I agree with that, but one thing that changed, and I think you can almost track these two things together, is the lack of jobs in the central city as well. You know, there was a time where Milwaukee, you know, had, you know, all these breweries going on, A.O. Smith, Tower Automotive. They had all these factory jobs and welding jobs. Actually, my father and most of my relatives, when they made the Great Migration to the North, their jobs were, they took a lot of factory jobs, a lot of those types of welding jobs that, you know, provided a decent wage in a way that you could buy a home and raise a family. And those jobs were in the neighborhood. You don't have that today. You know, many of these neighborhoods, the only employer that they have is like fast food restaurants like McDonald's or Wendy's. And you can't support a family off a fast food job. And, you know, there's a lack of transport. You know, transportation is always an issue. And you know, jobs are such an important piece to this puzzle. I mean, because a man has to feel like he can support his family. And once you don't have that, I mean, that sort of erodes away at what a man's responsibilities are supposed to be. And that's to take care of his family. You can't take care of your family if you can't find employment. And he's right, but you know, a lot of things have changed, and that includes that there's a real true lack of jobs out here. That's why, you know, you have to constantly come back at this mantra that jobs are so key. And so when Scott Walker says he wants to create 250,000 new jobs, well, you know, I want to see that.
Yeah. You also, though, would like to see, and Bill, hold on, as you say, you mentioned you're a teacher, Bill. Are you work in the school system?
Yes, I am. In fact, right now I'm working in Menominee Falls. I spent 20 years in MPS.
You, James, in your piece said that you would like to see the NAACP make education its number one agenda item because you think education is the key to breaking this cycle. And would you go ahead, James, and then maybe Bill can weigh in.
Well, yeah, education is education is really going to be a key to a lot of these things. When you look throughout the state, 50% of black males graduate from high school. Well, that number is just too low, because of that 50% that graduate from high school, only less than 30% are ready to go to college or go to college within their first year and a half out of school. So you realize how this pool gets low, and this is why black women on college campus outnumber black men 2-1. I mean, so, you know, education has to be stressed, but kids have to want it. Fathers have to be involved. Stress, and that's where organizations like the NAACP, the Urban League, and organizations like this with male mentors could play an important role on making kids value their education, because I go to a lot of schools to speak, and you know, to be honest with you, I see a lot of young black men who just show up to school, and I don't even really know why they show up. They just come, but they're not really prepared to learn, and that's a problem, because they don't, you know, it's like a wasting of time, and you hope they get it. You know, at least they're showing up. But if they don't get it soon, you know, those 4 years, you know, they end very quickly.
Bill, what do you think?
I get along very well with my African-American males. I've never met a thug in my life who was not a poet. But I find that they relate best to me because I respect them despite their backgrounds. When I grew up, education was the difference between life and death. It meant everything. My father put me in the steel mill for 2 summers to make sure that I understood. And then I went off to college. But also when I was growing up, our models were Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, H.F. Brown. I mean, the great black people who made it because they were educated. They were our models. And we emulated them. Everybody I know went to college, for better or worse. We fought to get into these colleges. I went to Northwestern and then got my master's at Alverno. Education is everything. And I impose that on my young black males. And like I said, I've never met a thug who was not a poet. And if you speak to them and deal with them with respect, they will respond. And they have responded with me.
Mm-hmm. Thanks very much, Bill, for calling in. Let me go next to Dan in Burlington. Hello, Dan.
Hi, how are you, Joy?
Good, how are you?
Good. This is a great topic, and I'm glad, I guess, I ended up in the order that I was in, because I can piggyback off of the gentleman that was just on, because I'm also from Gary, Indiana, and I'm now in Wisconsin. I grew up in a home to where I had both parents. My parents taught us everything I believe we needed to know in order to attempt to be successful. My parents didn't know everything that they needed to know education-wise in order to help me to be able to get to the level I'm at now. But they at least instilled in me the correct family values in order to continue forward. So the thing is, I grew up right behind this gentleman in Gary to be able to see the difference and the change in the demographic from what it used to be to what it is today. So basically what ended up happening is my older brother and I ended up in a home, both parents married. We are both married now. We both have children. We've stuck it out. But my younger brother, who was in the split with my parents, he's actually remarried now because he went through the thing of a family breakdown to the point where he ended up having children out of wedlock with several different women across the country. So the thing is, family structure is what's holding us together, but I believe a lot of the stuff that's going on with us is the lack of empowerment for black men, the lack of education, and the lack of finance. It's easy for everyone to say you need to pull up your bootstraps and go to college, but the fact is you need a pair of boots before you can pull your bootstraps up.
Yeah.
So the thing is, we don't have the finances a lot of times to be able to support a family. So I believe a lot of black males are afraid to take on the responsibility. And it's the lack of education from a child up that doesn't give you the drive to be able to go out and do the things that you know you're supposed to do and the things you know you need to do. Because personally, I don't think it would have been a great thing for me to have to worry about where my next meal is coming from, worry about, you know, how I'm going to help my mother pay the rent, you know, if I'm 13 years old. I mean, I just couldn't see myself having to do that.
Yeah.
So the thing is, when you have a lot of young black men that have to do that in order to help their mom out because the dad's not in the home, I believe that's the real breakdown that we're seeing in the black homes.
Dan, thanks. Hold on, if you will. James, what do you think?
Yeah, you know, he hit on a very important point. You know, when I was growing up, I'm 41 years old. When I was in elementary school in the 70s, I would say like 80% of my friends had the dad in the home, or they came from a family with two parents in the house. Today, I mean, most kids don't have that. It's probably the other way, where 20% of the dads are in the home. That makes a huge difference in how you're raised. It makes a huge difference in the poverty level. I mean, don't get me wrong. There's always been poverty. I mean, in the 50s and 60s, blacks were poor too. But during that time, we realized that it was easier on us to raise our children when we were together. You know, and I call that the difference between the Good Times model with Floretta Evans and her husband from the sitcom Good Time to where they were poor and they lived in a project, but they were able to raise their families and take care of their families and get their kids through school because they believed in the family unit. You know, and you look at today and it's not like that. You know, poverty is a huge issue. You know, 40% of the kids that go to Milwaukee Public Schools are living in poverty. For the first time this school year, the district will have over 3,000 homeless kids in the district. I mean, those numbers are incredible. And then when you factor in, you know, the drug culture and the hip-hop culture, the negative parts of the hip-hop culture and other things like this, I mean, kids are being pulled so many different ways that, you know, it needs to be some stability, and it starts in the home. If the home is all messed up and there's no stability there and the kids are essentially the ones who are being the men of the house and raising themselves, then you have no stability there. And it has to start there because you can't expect a school to fix things by the time a kid is in 9th, 10th grade. It's almost too late then. So it has to start young.
And that is kind of true what he's saying, because I've seen the same thing, you know, with, I guess, education in terms of it does start in the home. It's not necessarily when you get, you know, to college. It's one of those things to where you once you get to college, you're learning things about a career. But learning how to be a man is something you need to learn in a home from your dad. Learning how to treat a woman is something that you need to learn from your mom in the home. Being able to know you have to get up and brush your teeth in the morning, things like that are the things that you have to learn in the home. So that breakdown is the start of education that a lot of people don't understand that they need to do before they can be effective in society.
Thank you so much, Dan, for the call. We need to take a short break and check the weather. It's going to be a mostly sunny day today, turning cloudy in the west with a chance of showers this afternoon. Highs today between 45 and 50 degrees. Currently, it's mostly cloudy in Superior and 25 degrees. In Green Bay, it's clear and 23. In Wausau, clear and 15. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 9 minutes before 7 o'clock on this Thursday, March the 31st. Coming up, we will talk with a guest who says Democrats in Wisconsin have hijacked democracy by tying up the collective bargaining measure in the court system and defying the will of the voters. We'll wonder what you think about that coming up after 7 o'clock. We are talking now about black marriages and the low marriage rate among African Americans and why that's a problem. Our guest is James Causey. He is editorial writer and columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. His recent piece on black marriages is linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and on our program notes at WPR.org. And James Causey, I just learned that you took third place for editorial writing by an individual or team in the recent National Headliners Awards. So congratulations to you.
Thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
And we have next on the line, and if you would like to join us, 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. Our next caller is Melissa in Reedsburg. Hello, Melissa.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. One of the things that I wanted to comment on is I think both parents are extremely important to raising kids, but it's not something that always works out that way, whether it's a death, whether it's a divorce. The women in all communities need to be empowered also that they can do it without the help of the husband or the ex-husband or the father, if he's not there. You know, they can make the rules in the house. It doesn't take a man to raise a man. It's best, if there's a good marriage, for a dad to be a part of both a daughter and a son's life. But a mom can raise a man, too. Mm-hmm. And I think empowering the moms so that they're all moms, so that if they're on their own raising kids, they can raise successful daughters and sons,
yeah,
so that they will be better parents.
Thank you, Melissa. I mean, James Causey, certainly there are strong black men that were raised by single moms, yes?
Yeah, that's true, but it's a lot harder. I mean, I think it would have, if my mother or my father had to raise me along, I think it would have been a lot harder for them. And I'm the only child. The only thing I'm saying is, yeah, you know, I give it up to the women who are doing it by themselves, but they should not have to do it alone. And if the father is involved, the father needs to be involved. And plus, kids need to know things about their fathers. They need to know things about how they come to be. You know, they need to know what their father thinks and how did their father get that way. All these things are essential to the growth of them, you know. And I want to go back to another caller who mentioned being raised by both parents. I was the first one in my family to go to college. You know, my father, he went to graduate from college, I'm saying. My father went to MATC, and my mother, she took a few college courses, but I was the first one to graduate. And, you know, it was a lot of skills that they didn't know about to help me get through college, but they prepared me so much on how to be a man that it made that transition easier for me. And getting back to the last caller, yeah, you know, some parents can, a woman could do it by herself, but it's a lot harder, and I think everybody would agree to that it's a lot more difficult, and that shouldn't be the ideal way to do it. The ideal way is for both parents to be involved in the raising of their child. If their father is not there, he could co-parent as well. He doesn't have to be in the house to co-parent. And I think that's what we should be pushing for, not for the woman to do it by herself.
Lucy in Jefferson is with us. Hello, Lucy.
Hi. I guess I just would like to, thank you for letting me be on this call. I guess I just would like to hear a little discussion on, we're talking about lack or short marriages, fathers not being responsible and choosing not to get married. I'm wondering if we could have a little discussion on perhaps the women's responsibility in this. I mean, it's one thing if you get divorced or if your husband dies or whatever and you have to raise children alone. It's another thing to choose to have children knowing that you're not going to marry the father. So I'm thinking that women need to be a little bit more responsible in having the children in the first place.
Thank you, Lucy. We touched on this in our first half hour, James Causey, but didn't talk about whether that was very responsible.
Yeah, you know, I think what it comes down to is, yeah, you know, some women can make better decisions. But then again, you know, life happens. You know, one woman that I'm interviewing for another piece on stressors, where she had a premature baby, she got pregnant by a guy that didn't work, and he had children from previous relationships. And, you know, she realizes that, you know, it wasn't necessarily the best thing to do to have a child by this guy, but, she, you know, it was a lot of different things going on in her life. You know, it was the whole idea that he was telling her things that she wanted to hear, for one. And the whole idea, she felt her biological clock ticking. And this whole thing with, you know, this, I could change this guy or he will improve. And I think a lot of people go into, you know, and this goes for any race, go into that, into a relationship with someone thinking that they could change this person. Yeah. Well, or this person will improve.
As you mentioned, there was too much to talk about in one column and too much to talk about in 1 hour. We have just a minute to go. What do you hope the first step is in reversing this trend?
I guess the first step is for fathers, you know, if they're not involved in their children's lives, to start to get involved. And there's organizations out there like the Fatherhood Initiative and organizations like that to help start that conversation. How do I become a better father? You know, I haven't been involved in my child's life in months or years. What's the first step for me to start that process, to get involved in my child's life? And it starts with those simple steps. And then hopefully it can move on from there.
Well, I hope that we can talk again. Thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
James Causey, editorial writer, columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And his piece on black marriages is linked to the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page and WPR.org. Thanks to Bill Martins for producing this hour. Thanks to Chris Molina for on-air production. And thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There is much more to come. Tomorrow at this time, we are going to be talking about, Bill, help me out. We're going to be talking about craft beers tomorrow between 6 and 7. We're going to be talking about Wisconsin's microbrews. Apparently, they're doing quite well these days. And that's our topic tomorrow between 6 and 7. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.